Well, good evening. It's good to see you here tonight, and I trust that God has blessed you this afternoon. It's good to see you back in the house of God to worship Him. We're going to be back in Romans 1 tonight, verses 16 and 17. We're going to be talking about, this morning we talked about the first five words. Tonight we're going to talk about the rest of it. So hopefully God spoke to you this morning, and I'm sure He will again this evening. So Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read the passage. Father, we do want to thank you for the love you give us tonight and all that you do in our lives, and for the grace that you bestow upon us because of your mercy and your love and your care for us. And as we have taught this morning about not being ashamed and living a life unashamed of the gospel, may we take that further tonight and realize that it's through you and through your great power that we have salvation and that we have the life that we have, that we have the faith that we have. Everything about our lives is because of you. Speak to us tonight, God. Show us your truth and reveal to us the truth of your ways. And I just pray, God, that you give me the words to speak, that what is said will come from you and flow from your throne, and that you would speak to every person that is here tonight. We love you, God, and we praise you, and we thank you for all you do for us. And again, we pray that you would just bless us in this time. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen. Romans 1, 16 and 17, you may remain seated tonight. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. May God bless the reading of the word tonight. The gospel of Christ. We talk a lot about it in church, and I'm sure I talk a lot about it. Some of you would say maybe too much, but I've been accused in the past of talking too much about the gospel, but I don't think that's a bad thing, and I really don't care what people think, and I don't really care about the people that said I did it too much in the past. Because the gospel of Christ is powerful. The gospel of Christ is life-changing. And the reason why you're here tonight, and the reason why many of you are here every night and every Sunday morning, is because at some point in your life, the gospel changed you as well. And if you're here tonight and it has not changed you yet, you're here because God is drawing you. Now, for those of us here tonight, I would say we're all believers. At least you all have been coming for a long time. And that's the power that the gospel has. That's why I preach on Sunday. That's why I spent 8 years, 6.5 years in Bible study, Bible school, a year and a half in community college, but 6.5 years preparing for ministry in school, and why I made the decisions I did in high school not to be like everybody else, not to be promiscuous, not to be involved in drugs and alcohol. Why? Why did I make those decisions? Why am I where I am? Why are you where you are in your life as a Christian? Why? Because at some point in our lives, the gospel touched us. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but so you're going to hear all that again. But anyway, the gospel is powerful. Just as the Bible tells us, I can't remember the exact reference, but where Paul tells us somewhere in 1st, 2nd Corinthians, that to those that are dying, to those that are lost, it's foolishness. They don't understand it. But for you and I that are being saved, it is the power of God. And you can't understand what power it is until you've placed your faith in Christ and God has given you that salvation. We look at verse 16, and this morning, like I said, we focused on the first five words, for I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But tonight, I want to take that a little further, go a little further into the verse. And it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it's interesting, and I think we need to spend some time realizing that the gospel is of Christ. The gospel that we believe, that we come to church to support and to uplift and uphold in our lives and community, the gospel is of Christ. It is of nothing else. It's not of any other person, not of any other God, or not of any other thing. It is of Jesus Christ, the man that lived in the first century, that was born of a virgin, was crucified on a cross, carried away our sins, and resurrected from the dead. And I believe that to be true, and I know you do as well. Him. It is He that the gospel is based on. In the time of the Romans, it was always important who gave a message or who gave some kind of decree. For them, Caesar was the ruler, the emperor of the time. And I'm sure any of you that know anything about history understand that. But any message that Caesar would give out, being the ruler, being the emperor, any message that he would give out was sent and given immediately. It's not like today when, you know, they tell us in, you know, last August that we're going to get a tax rebate, and I'm not getting mine until July 4th, apparently. Okay, it's not like our government where it takes forever for the message to get out and for things to get the ball rolling. If Caesar said, I want everybody to pay taxes today, everybody paid taxes that day. It happened immediately. It was given immediately. The message was sent because he gave the order. It was followed immediately. It was given immediately. It was sent immediately. And no one dared question the rule or authority of Caesar. Not any of his lieutenants or captains or generals or governors or whatever it may be, whoever they may have been. No one all the way down from the second highest down questioned the authority of Caesar. He was ruler. And when he sent a message, it was delivered to the people, and it was done so immediately. And that's where we all get the idea of Christ, Mary and Joseph, having to go back to Bethlehem and being born, because he decreed that they would do that, that they would go and be registered in their homeland, in their hometown. And that was the way it was when Caesar gave a message. It was important. It was carried then. To use another illustration of the authority of a message, I remember when I was in high school, I guess the words we use for it is teacher's pet. The words other students in the school would use was nerd. But I was a teacher's pet, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud to know that I was that in high school. And I remember one day, my humanities teacher, her name was Kathy Langford. I think she's still teaching at that high school, but she sent me on an errand to the office to deliver some message. And she said, go tell them this, or whatever it was. It didn't matter. I could have told them anything, and they'd believe me, because I was that kind of student. But anyway, she sent me to the office to give the message, and she didn't give me a pass. Now, if you know anything about schools, you know, you can't go anywhere without a pass. And I even said, you know, that's how teacher's petly I was, because I even asked, don't I need a pass? And she said, no, she trusted me enough. She said, no, you don't need it. Of course, you know how fate would be. I'd walk out the door 10 steps and some lady catches me that didn't know who I was, or she wouldn't have said anything, and had to take me back to the classroom, and my teacher basically got down her throat because she stopped me. She couldn't believe that anybody would ever stop me. But anyway, my teacher dealt with the situation and sent me to the office and gave the message. I wasn't in trouble. I know what Barry's thinking. I wasn't in trouble. I was sent down to deliver a message. But I did have to take a pass. Well, the lady had to give verification that she sent me. But you know the point. The point is, she trusted me enough with the message to take it. But that's more of, I guess, toot my own horn than anything. What I'm really trying to get out is that when she sent that message, whatever it was, to the office, they responded immediately. You know, had I gone down there and said, I need this, they would have laughed at me. But if I go down there and say, Miss Langford needs whatever it was she needs, they get on it immediately, because the teachers were respected. They were important in the school, and the office responded to whatever the teacher wanted. And whatever that message was I delivered, she got what she wanted in due time, as soon as she could get it, as soon as they could get it to her, or took care of the situation. So my point is that when someone of that kind of authority wants something done, it's done. And I'm sure you know how that works in your office. Well, it's no different than the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is sent, in a lot of ways, it was sent by God. Jesus was sent by God to be the Savior, to be that gospel. Jesus is the message. And He is the one to whom God entrusted the message. And when Jesus came to earth and gave that message to you and I, that you cannot be saved, no one comes to the Father but by Me. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. That's what Jesus says in John 14:6. And when He said that, He is the message, and if God is the authority, God is the giver, and if you're going to respond, you're going to have to respond in God's way and in God's time. There's no other way to do it. God sent the message, and that message was Christ, and He was the deliverer of that message in Himself. He deserves our respect. He deserves our obedience. He deserves our response because He is the messenger. He is the Savior. And I think the first thing we need to understand is that the gospel is from God. It comes from God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is Christ. It is God. It is God Himself who gives us the gospel that we have. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that the gospel comes straight from God, and react to that appropriately and respond in obedience. But also the Bible says not only is the gospel of Christ, but it also tells in verse 16 that it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. You know, you think about what is it that makes one man so authoritative and so followed. I mean, we look in, even in our own society, in our own not society but world, and I realize he's dead now, but at one time Saddam Hussein had Iraq. Well, let's use somebody that's alive. Fidel Castro, I mean, he's down in Cuba, and they do everything he tells them to do. And nobody questions. You kind of wonder why there's ever been a coup there. But for, how does one man get that kind of power? How did Caesar Augustus and all the emperors of Rome have the power that they did? Why was it that no one would ever question them? Well, obviously one man on his own doesn't have the power, but he had the army. He had the military. The Roman government, the Roman nation, was very powerful and very feared by people everywhere. And he had centurion soldiers that were stationed throughout the known world of that time, the conquered world of Rome at that time. And everywhere there were soldiers. So the authority of Rome, the authority of Caesar, was basically handled by those men who would basically, if you didn't do what was told, you ended up with a spear through your chest. Because you did what, maybe it was done by force, but people knew they could not overcome the power of Rome. And that's how Caesar got the strength he got and was able to have the things he wanted because of that power. Well, in the same way, God has His own great power. Now, He doesn't need an army, but God in Himself has that power. Like the Roman Empire was, it had power, but it was filled in sin and all of that stuff. But God is a God of grace and a God of justice and a God of righteousness and a God of power. And because of His power and because of His strength and because of all of those things that He has about Him, He was able to have His way and to have His will carried out. God's power is overcoming, and it is the gospel that He gives to you and I. And we can understand and we can have the peace of knowing that our gospel, that the gospel of God has power in us. And we look at that idea, and you think about Paul, and he even says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And why was it that he was not ashamed? Why was he not ashamed? Why was it that he wasn't? Because he knew that God had great power. You see, Paul had witnessed firsthand the power that God displayed, the power that God possessed. Paul had seen the power of God walking on the road, when he was walking on the road to Damascus, and he was overcome by the great light that was Christ, and Christ said, why are you persecuting me, and why are you coming after me? And Paul was changed, and then he saw the power of God. And then he had those scales on his eyes, remember, and he went into the town and found Ananias, Annas, one of those. The guy that he was supposed to go see in Damascus. It's Ananias or Annas. I think it might have been Annas. But anyway, and I could be completely wrong, but I'm sorry. Look, many of you know who I'm talking about. He went into the Rome and he laid his hands on Paul, and the scales fell off his eyes, and Paul just, he knew there was something powerful about God. He'd also seen God work in Ephesus, where he had ministered, in Corinth and Philippi and these other areas and provinces that he had gone to in ministry. He had seen the power of God overcome evil and overcome sin and overcome odds that were astronomically against him, but he saw the power of God and he saw it in his own life, the strength that he had to continue going and the desire, despite the beatings and the whippings and the imprisonments, Paul continued on. Why? Because of the power of God that changed his life. He saw how powerful God was. What kind of power does the gospel have in your life? Is the power of God, does it create within you that desire to be strong, desire to continue to be motivated, to continue to live for God? Do you see the power of God working in your life? You know, sometimes it's easy to get away from it. It's easy to not allow the power of God to work in our lives and to not seek God's power. But we need to learn that God's power is overcoming of sin and overcoming of evil and discouragement, disheartedness, and all of those things. It overcomes all of those things, and it empowers us, it strengthens us to live for Him. The gospel of Christ is powerful. And just as I said earlier, that to those that don't believe it may be foolishness, but to us, it is the power of God. We have the power of God within us to live a life holy before Him. But then, one quick thing before I close, in verse 17, it talks about that righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, and it says, the just shall live by faith. And that is a quotation that comes out of Habakkuk 2:4. It comes from that verse, and Paul, in quoting that, is telling the Roman church, the Roman Christians, that the just live by their faith in God. We are to live by our faith in God. Our righteousness is revealed to us through the power that God has, through His salvation, through Christ. We live our life in faith. Faith in Christ defines who we are. And what I mean by that is, when we face the situations of life, good and bad, when we face situations of life, it's our faith that should prevail. It's our faith that should come forth, that should be seen. You know, in the dark and in dreary times, we have faith that God is going to help us through. And through the great times, we have faith that God is going to continue to bless us. But our life is defined by faith. Why? Because the just, the righteous, those that belong to God, live their life by faith. We live by faith. We need to have faith in God to be justified in ourselves. You know, we look at this passage and we see that the gospel is of Christ, and we need to be obedient to Christ and what it is for us to have the gospel. We need to see that God's power of the gospel, it infiltrates our life and encourages us and emboldens us to live a life of holiness. But it gives us the power to see God working our life. We need to live and tap into that power of the gospel of Christ. And then we also learn that we need to live by faith. We need to be justified and live by faith. And I wonder for you tonight, I wonder for you this evening, do you live in faith? Do you live in the power of God? Do you obey Christ and the gospel? Is it central to your life? And is it part of what God is doing in your life? You allowing that power to be in you? Our invitation tonight is number 37. And I want to challenge you in this, and I want to encourage you in this idea of the idea that Christ's gospel does infiltrate us, that it does embolden us, that it does empower us to live, and that it is the gospel of Christ, and that it comes straight from God, and that we live a life of faith that defines who we are, and that we live it day in and day out despite what we face in our lives. What power does the gospel have in you? Are you tapping into the power of God? Are you living a life on your own apart from the power of God? What is it that God wants to do to you tonight? Our hymn invitation again, number 37 in the volume 12, New Songs of Inspiration. I pray that God will deal with you and that you will allow Him to deal. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. We're having a time of invitation. Father, I thank you for speaking to us tonight and for guiding us and revealing to us what it is you want to do in our lives. And God, we know that you have power. You have great power in our lives, and we need to live by faith, and we need to be strengthened, we need to be encouraged and emboldened to live for you. God, I just pray that you would help us to evaluate where we are. As I said this morning, are we ashamed of the gospel, or do we live it and we embrace it and live for the gospel? Or, God, do we have that power that helps us through our life, the power of God that Paul had, the power that you gave Paul in his ministry, that you want to give us in our lives and our ministries. And God, I just pray that we would be a part of that and we would live by faith and we would understand that the power that we have, anything that we have, comes from you. God, speak to us tonight. Strengthen us. Show us your will. Show us your ways. And we just love you and praise you. Bless us now in this time of invitation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.